Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can do literally anything else.
And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spin-off series Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. This week, Millie has broken down she dives deep into the history of makeup influencer Michaela Nogueira and her Foundation of Lies.
Yes, I titled it Foundation of Lies.
Many good puns,
yes,
related to this episode. It's, yes, a lot. There's a lot there. There's lash drama.
There's a lash lighting for
foundation
sure.
Foundation related drama.
You got to be kidding
there's
me. Where
accent
she reviews
drama.
Yes, accent, fake there's, accent.
There's, yeah, a lot there. So go over to our Patreon. You can buy the episode individually. And then once you hear it and you hear how good it was, you're going to want to subscribe.
You're
going to want
to subscribe.
You're gonna be like, well, I got to get more of this.
You can give you a subscription as a gift too. If there's somebody in the Grass Nation that wants to, you want to support, you want them to kindly get offline.
Yeah.
Then get them a Go Touch Grass.
Yeah,
Patreon,
if you know someone who needs to Go Touch Grass, but you know that they wouldn't be able to because they want to stay plugged in.
Wow.
Perfect. For the holidays.
And again, you know, as you're going to holidays, you're going to see your family. They're going to be like, have you heard of Tucker Carlson? And you can be like, well, have you heard of Million Elise?
I counter your Tucker Carlson with
toxicity. I'll get toxicity. You know what I'm saying? And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. But really, the best review you can give us is to tell your friends. Tag us in a little story. We'll repost it. We're online. You know we are. That's the premise of the pod.
Yep, it is indeed. And don't forget that for our holiday episode, we are doing a mailbag. So if you have any questions for us personally, anything that you want to get our opinion about that we haven't discussed here on the pod, feel free to email us at gotouchgrasspod@gmail.com or DM us on any of our socials, and your question might make the show. We're recording that pretty soon, so if you have a question,
we're
get it
in. We're
getting
some good questions. We got what's up with Finita?
Wow.
And that's a deep hole.
Yeah,
that's
deep
from
hole.
The Tarte influencer trip.
I remember.
The first racist one. There's been like 80 more since then. And speaking of racist influencer, I'm kidding.
No.
One of the only straight white men we've had on this pod.
Yeah.
I think Josh Gondelman. And that's
also from
my husband.
Yeah, and your husband.
And my husband.
And your husband. How can we forget the most epic episode?
That'll be coming back around. We're going to be...
Yeah,
that
we're
episode
all going
to... features back in today with one of our topics. So.
With your topics, yes. But we have a very special guest in the studio with us. They're a reporter, an editor, a producer, a video editor, a podcast host, and an on-camera presenter. You've seen their work in Vice, Gawker, and most recently, his Webby Award-winning newsletter about the internet titled Garbage Day. Give it up for Ryan Broderick!
Hello, thank you very much. Hi.
A quadruple hyphenate?
I just do so many jobs for so little money. You know, that's just, you stack them all together. It's like being a gig worker.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, you're talking to two people who... I literally sold nails on a street corner yesterday.
Like metal nails or like...
Press on nails.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, press on nails on the street corner. Yeah. And Elise writes copy for a cruise line.
Yes. So. Oh, cool. That's exactly.
So listen.
Exactly. And for an Italian furniture company. Yeah, that's cool. If you need copy. But sometimes they'll, like, with the Italian furniture company, sometimes they'll assume that I have more knowledge about Italian furniture than I have at all. And I have to be like, hey, so just a reminder, I don't know what any of this shit is, so you do need to tell me what it is.
What's your...
I don't know.
I don't know what they use.
I don't know.
Is Italian furniture that much different than...
Yeah.
Is it?
Okay.
Wow. Yes.
They have chairs there and
it's
stuff.
It's more beautiful.
Oh, I see.
It's more beautiful.
That's the kind of copywriting you could get. Ryan, tell us about Garbage Day and what you've noticed covering the internet for, I would say, over a decade.
Long time, yeah.
A decade and a half. Yeah. Who knows? You've been covering the internet. So tell us what Garbage Day is and then also anything that you've noticed covering the internet so long.
I think the internet's fine. Right now,
okay, great.
Everything's fine.
well, then let's close
Good. Yeah. We're good.
And that's our episode.
Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so I write a newsletter called Garbage Day. I host a podcast called Panic World, and they're both kind of about right now, at least, like the internet falling apart.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of people sort of have begun to realize that like the things that used to kind of work definitely don't work anymore.
Mm.
And I'm particularly kind of interested in like how we're reacting to that. So, you know, just this morning, I was looking at the people behind the Hawk to a crypto coin.
We're going to talk about that later.
Because
so
I was curious, like who made it, and I found them. And so I'm always really interested in sort of weird stories like that. So that's my major focus.
And what are the things that you feel like don't work anymore? Because I feel like definitely probably about 10, 15 years ago, the internet was so message board focused.
It was. Yeah.
And now it's kind of not so like, what, I'd love to hear what you think worked in the past and doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I think like the internet used to not have to work. Like it could have just been a simpler place where we're all spending time, you know, LiveJournal or, you know, MySpace or whatever, like these platforms we didn't really care about, but we could use them. But then over the 2010s, we needed to care about them because they became very important.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the companies that run them don't really care about them anymore because they're not AI driven. So there's like a new wave coming, theoretically. And so a lot of the stuff that we still use like doesn't really work that well. Mm-hmm. Amazon doesn't really work that well. Facebook doesn't really work that well. But we're still on there. And that's where I think things get kind of interesting. Like, have you seen all the pictures of... like Crab Jesus on Facebook?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been wanting to do something about, what is it, dead internet theory or something?
Oh, yeah, the
like
dead
that.
Internet theory that, like, everyone except for you is a bot on the internet.
Yeah, but also, like, there's AI-generated images that trend really crazy. Yeah.
My favorite one is there's a couple accounts that do, like, flight attendants with Jesus.
Yes.
So it's like, pray for us, and it's like hashtag cabin crew. I think that's pretty good.
So it's just basically AI-generated images to like trap boomers into engaging with it so that they can get
sort of, money. My friend who's a reporter at 404 figured this out where it's like, I think it's a group in Pakistan that is taking suggestions of what they think Americans would share.
Mm.
So they're like scamming Americans to make money with the Facebook creator program.
And it's always just like, Jesus on soldiers. Top of a mountain. Yeah, a soldier picking up a little girl. Jesus is also there.
A baby with like fruit. I see
lots
those a
of
lot.
Fruit babies.
Yeah. Fruit babies. Like a baby in a watermelon kind of deal.
Or it's like a woman with like six giant breasts kind of like spinning out. And it's like, are you my husband? You know, kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like
definitely. Yeah. I mean, I always think like, what if I had four more titties?
Yeah.
And I'd be,
apparently,
like,
you'd go really viral on
you
Facebook.
You would go super duper viral.
I feel like if I had six titties, I'd go viral. Maybe that's what I got to do. No, that's the next step in comedy.
Watch this space in 2025 for million four titties. Ryan, you recently joined the illustrious ranks of podcasters with your podcast. Are you talking about similar stuff on the pod? What's the vibe?
Yeah, so we call it Panic World because it's this idea that every week or so people are freaking out about something on the internet and usually it's not really worth freaking out about. So we've done topics like, okay, remember when everyone was eating Tide Pods?
Yes.
So tried to figure out, like, did that happen?
Did that actually happen?
It didn't happen. No. Like, old people eat them sometimes because they have dementia. But, like, teenagers aren't doing it. Although one guy did vape it, which I thought was funny.
Oh, gosh. God. That's, like, actually worse than eating
it.
I do
worse.
Feel
it's,
like
yeah,
that.
It's much worse. So, like, we try to find these stories, like, old and new of, like, why was everyone freaking out? What caused it? Like, another one was the NyQuil chicken thing, where people on TikTok were like boiling chicken in NyQuil.
Oh,
I tried it, by the way.
tried it?
I didn't eat it, but I did try it.
What a Hannah Warhead. What is it? Lena Dunham ass.
It stunk like... It stunk like a what's the word fried dough but like full of fish.
That sounds
wow. That's like a what di- that's a it. Different smell than I would have thought. Yeah, I thought sweet. It would have been a purely chemical.
It was
smell.
Very sweet. Yeah, I wore a face mask though because the FDA says you shouldn't inhale it. So
I would guess no. Yeah. No. Yeah. And
so
I
you did... made chicken broth lean is what
I made. I made chicken lean. Yeah. Chicken lean. And it was very blue. It was like very green blue.
And you didn't eat it.
I didn't want to eat it. Yeah. Well, no. Our Patreon doesn't have enough
supporters.
Like, if
you're gonna boil it, you might as well. I'm gonna take a bite.
We put it for a stretch goal. Like, if we get to like 1,000 patrons, I'll eat it.
Millie takes a bite of the chicken and immediately grows 4 titties.
Yeah. There we go, puberty.
We don't know.
I think the closest thing I ever did, which is also one of the most Dominican things I've ever done, is when I was hanging out in the Bronx with my friend's cousin in like 2011 or something, or 2012 probably, early 2012, we did hookah, but instead of water, we used Bacardi and then, or wine.
I've done this.
I've done both of that. And then we like, we had this whole night ahead of us where we were going to like go out. We were going to start with hookah pregame, go out, go to the club, whatever. We did that. Rum hookah, and we were all in bed by 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah. The most dangerous thing I've ever done, and this isn't a public show, so I can share this.
What do you mean? We got millions of, this is Joe Rogan level.
Well, I filled a bong with something, and also
with
Everclear.
Weed? No, weed and Everclear? No, you're
And
crazy.
That was bad. That was
Wait,
bad
you did that,
That was
but
like
you
the most
eat...
dangerous thing I've ever done.
I know,
college.
I'm like, I think I'd, if you're giving me NyQuil chicken versus weed with Everclear, I'm
going to
do
out,
NyQuil chicken because Everclear is that, what is it, 100 proof?
It's like 100 something,
100 proof.
We used to get it for parties when I was in high school, and it's like, why were we doing this?
It's bad.
So
it's
why?
Bad.
Me and my friend used to make jungle juice with Everclear.
You do.
And we were trying to be cheap, so we got styrofoam cups, and the cups would be melted through.
Styrofoam, always.
Cups would be dissolved.
Every single thing you guys described, I just kept being like, the swiftness with which I would shit my pants after smoking a hookah that had Bacardi in it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Did you get drunk
off of it?
We certainly got lightheaded.
I see.
We got lightheaded. We were fucked up. We were sleeping.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't know if it was specifically because of the Bacardi or is because we had a long day the day before. My friend was like, meet me in Atlantic City. So I like went to Atlantic City. And then I realized I was like crashing like a vacation. Like she didn't want to sleep with this guy, but this guy flew her out to Atlantic City.
Oh.
And I was cockblocked.
There's so many more layers to this.
So many more layers.
Another lore drop.
You know, listen. Wow. And then, he was kind of pissed, obviously. I don't know, guys. Don't fucking do that. Don't do that. So the guy was mad. And then we, like, stayed up all night. And then he drove us back. And then we went to the Bronx. And we were going to party. And then we did this Bacardi.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you did it in Atlantic City at first. But you did it in the Bronx after we had this.
So it was like, was it like the Bacardi hookah or was it the cock blocking?
It's a lot of emotional sort of
I guess you have to do it again when you're well rested.
I'm trying to go to Atlantic City. You know I love Atlantic City.
I made out with a woman who was an Elvis impersonator there once.
Okay.
In an elevator.
Yeah. Did you meet in the elevator
unclear.
And then immediately?
Unclear.
Not a lot of the details.
But I do remember being in the elevator.
But you wouldn't eat the NyQuil chicken. See, there's so many holes in it.
I know. I was younger, you know? What can I say?
Yeah. It was last week.
You were technically younger.
Yeah,
we
well,
were all
exactly.
Last week.
Exactly. And that's what I tell my agent. speaking of agents, we're done. But we're going to our first segment, which we call software updates, where we update you on a topic we've covered in the past. Somebody in our Discord channel, which if you're a patron, you can join our Discord channel. Lots
it's
of things
poppin'.
Going on. It's popping.
We're in there.
We're in there. People are giving us merch suggestions, and it's going crazy.
Yeah.
But somebody suggested that instead of software update, We call it lawn maintenance because go touch grass. We're trimming the lawn. You know what I mean?
It's a little bit of a walk for me.
Yeah.
That's my immediate reaction.
Yeah.
Love everyone on our Discord.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do software update / lawn maintenance. Okay. But, you know, we appreciate you, Candace. So if you remember from our 1128 episode with Mikey. Jasmine Ruiz, rapper Kendrick Lamar. The thing is, people have argued, like I said, that the internet sucks now because everything has a 24-hour shelf life. But I say no. I say things come back and back and back and back. Yeah. So we had our episode with Jasmine Ruiz where we updated about Kendrick Lamar's new album, GNX, where on the song Whacked Out Murals, Kendrick had the lyrics, "Don't let no white comedian talk about no black women, that's law." And I will say that the internet speculated it was about Andrew Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the conceit of the song was really talking to black men of like, hey, don't do this.
Yeah.
He didn't call out anyone specifically, and it wasn't two white comedians. He just said, "Don't let white comedians do this."
Yeah.
Andrew Schultz freaks out. At first, he went through hip-hop journalists and alleged rapists, DJ academics. And so I have to say that every time. And
it's important.
It's important. And said, quote, "Kendrick is too woke to understand a joke." That's what Andrew Schultz's first statement is. Then on his podcast, he commented more. And, you know, his first point was that he can't believe this conversation is happening because hip-hop has never respected women, you know? So why do they care about him disrespecting women now? And Kendrick Lamar is a hypocrite. He made the interesting point that, you know, we've made on this podcast in the Jax Murrow episode of, like, actually, both men have no regard for women. If you're making a hot top hip-hop song where everyone's dancing to pedophilia, you know, it's dark. So he makes that point, but then he goes on to make this point. Let's watch.
He just can't ever shut up, can he?
No.
But I mean, it is crazy. But I need Kendrick. I need you to do it, Kendrick.
You want to squabble up with Kenny?
No. I mean, here's the thing. This is the thing that is kind of funny about it. Is like, like, first of all, Kendrick's people and the gang affiliate, you know, everybody, his security, they will kill me. They will destroy me. They'll find me in the street. They'll fucking cut me up. They'll shoot me. They'll do whatever. I'm not a tough guy. Y'all would do. But just Kendrick, I would make love to him. There's nothing he could do about it. Just Kendrick Lamar, I would make love to him. And the only thing that he could do is decide if it's consensual or not. That's the only thing he could do. If it's me and Kendrick, this is about physics. It's about physics. I don't even know if I'll get hard. But if we're in a cell, there's a chance that if we're in a cell and we're bored and we've done tattooing each other, whatever you do in the cell, and we ran out of board games and we did all the other things, we cleaned everything, and I'm like, man, I might as well fuck you. There's nothing he could physically do to stop that besides put his legs in the air and choose a position. Maybe I'll let him choose a position.
Why are you pulling this picture up, Mark? Why are you doing this?
Look at, put up that picture with him and Travis Kelce's girl. Look at that shit.
Oh, my God, dude. That's unbelievable.
Yo, I'll be honest. I would go so far as to say I don't think he could stop most people on the planet from having sex with him. Like, the only reason he got security is to stop people from having sex with him whenever he wants. Now, don't get me wrong, there's people who could fuck me against my will. I was in an elevator once with this drag queen, and this motherfucker was like 6'5".
Oh, yeah.
And we're in the elevator, and we're going down. I'm like, yo, if he wanted to take it, I gotta cause a ruckus or something like that. Like, I gotta do something.
I
gotta do something to stop. He might enjoy it. I have no clue what they're into, but I know with Kendrick that he's talking a lot of shit, but if it came down to it, I could put him on my lap. I could feed him a bottle. I could put him on my lap. I could feed him a bottle and make love to him if I wanted to, and there's nothing he could do about it. I might not be hard. Dick might just slap soft against his butt.
But you could just beat him up.
Talk to me, guys.
I bet if you're like 11 years old, that's like the funniest thing you've ever heard in your life. Right, like if you're just like an iPad baby that like doesn't do anything but watch like shitheads like that on the internet, like that must just blow your mind.
It's so disturbing. And it went on for so long. And, like, it kept getting worse and worse. And it's just, I don't know. There's this, but it's bizarre to me to be, like, to basically say, like, I could commit rape. Yes. I would do it. Like,
but you can't say that because you don't want to get, like, hit by, like, YouTube censors.
Yeah, so he's saying make love. I would make love to him, which is very gross. It reminds me of recently there was that guy on Twitter who's actually, like, the guy on SEAL Team 6 who killed Osama bin Laden. Who, like, quote tweeted some other guy, and he was like, if this were ancient Rome, I would make you my concubine. It's like, what? That's like, what are you talking about?
It was like a
bunch
of, like, teens that were helping out Kamala Harris's campaign.
Yes. Yeah, and he was like, I would... In ancient Rome, you would be food and concubines from people like me. And then, like, this kid had to be like, the guy who killed Osama bin Laden just said he would make me his concubine. Yeah. Like, it's fucking bizarre.
It's so weird that they think like that. I'm just going to say, it's actually incredible that I feel like there has to be a Guinness Book of World Records to be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, obnoxious and unfunny in a 2-minute clip. I mean, it is impressive.
It was.
You gotta give it to him.
He really covered a lot of ground in that clip of just like fucked up stuff, and also referred to Taylor Swift as Travis Kelce's girl, which I'm know. Like, you're a fucking ass. Like, yeah, that's also just a little obviously.
I knew he was gonna get the white women with that one,
but I was just like, you know that Taylor Swift is like one of the most famous people on planet Earth. Like,
that's his
fucking
point.
Yeah,
that's his fucking point. Is like, first of all, Kendrick is shorter than Taylor Swift, so la la la, whatever. And yeah, so naturally the internet was pissed about this, and especially this notes to a term slash practice slash idea, and it's also the name of a film called Buck Breaking, and it was like. But, you know, it's kind of this, like, again, phenomenon or what, not this practice that people do where it's like the dominant culture. It's like this way that white men or white people in power can, like, disempower black people as a whole by taking black men and sexually exploiting them in a very public way to, like, kind of assert dominance over. So that is, like, a thing that has been done since slavery.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so funny that Andrew's natural instinct was to go to this thing that has been, like, studied and, like, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, he could have just been like, Kendrick is very short and I could beat him up.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's...
And that's what... The only person that wasn't laughing at that panel was the white guy. And he's like, why are you going there? You can just say you want to beat him up.
I think he says it at the end, right? Like, and it's like... Instead, he goes on like a almost 5-minute tirade about wanting to rape Kendrick Lamar, which is psychotic.
Yeah.
And like you, it's very purposeful. It's obviously very purposeful.
And all that does is say that you would be a rapist if you could. Like it's
jokes
it's,
on you. Yeah, I'm going to be a rapist.
Exactly. That's what's so crazy to me is like, I could rape you. It's like, sure, I guess if you're a rapist, like you could do that for sure.
One thing that has been surfacing is his ex, Sarah Phillips, who is biracial. People have been seeing an Instagram note thing that she's posted from 2015 where she was like, do not send me any video clips or pictures of my ex. He was incredibly manipulative and abusive. Goes on to make these very sad, dark allegations, including, this was the most disgusting thing, she caught him using her toothbrush to clean his shoes and not saying anything. So she was like sick. Just this is nasty.
Yeah.
It's like fucking gross.
No, that's someone who like obviously this is someone who gets off on like degrading people.
Well, guys.
Oh, it gets worse.
Then Andrew Schultz went on the Flagrant podcast, the podcast he hosts with Charlamagne, and, you know, makes a statement. And I want you to just to say this. I want you to, he's sitting on with Charlamagne and next to a black woman.
Okay.
So he's saying this next to a black woman. That's
why. I bet it's going to be very nuanced, very apologetic.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear how thoughtful this is going to be.
Don't be surprised if he goes crazy. Listen, some of the Kendrick stans have been posting shit like telling me they're going to take out my family on like pictures of my child, my daughter.
Oh my God.
You surprised by this? This is the nature of the game.
Yeah, social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, social media. It's like, but he says that line. Like... He says that line. His parent, his friend, his, some of his fans, the majority of his fans don't do anything. The majority of his fans are just like, they like hip hop. They think he's a great musician. But the most extreme ones on a picture of my 8-month baby are going, you better take security everywhere because I'm coming for your whole family. And this is like multiple.
Crazy.
So to me, that person, I don't blame Kendrick. We can't control what our fans do. But that person, I go, you're talking about my kid, man. Like, I have to screenshot you, know who you are. And if I ever see you, that there.
You can't play with it. Yeah, it's you can't play with it. No, I'm with you. 100%. That's why I'm not, I don't feel no remorse.
I feel no remorse. Like, because yo, you talk about someone's child,
bro. You should have learned from Pusha T. Right. He did the same thing to Pusha T. You want to mention people's fiance, and Kendrick took his belt off and whipped your ass the way he gonna whip Schultz's ass. If he did that to a half a white man, imagine what he would do to
a full one.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, God. I'm just saying.
Say whatever you want about me.
Hold on. There's a pattern here with a lot of these guys. Because there's like nine versions of this guy. I didn't realize until halfway through that says that wasn't Tony Hinchcliffe. Because they're all the exact same guy.
Yep.
But they do this thing where they insert themselves into some sort of controversy to like make money on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then it gets out of control and they don't know what to do anymore. And they'll do like one of two things. One, they'll be like, they're coming for my family. This is so serious. Or they'll be like, guys, we need to focus on like men's mental health. You know, they find some sort of like cop out to like spin it to make them the victim or to make them look benevolent. And they do it all the time. And it's usually when they've inserted themselves in this. I mean, he wasn't even mentioned in the song.
And he's wasn't even mentioned in the song.
So to put this into context, he heard a song, believed it may have been about him, went on a tirade about how he was going to rape Kendrick Lamar over and over again. And then was like, they're coming for me.
And then said a bunch of other offensive things, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's my thing is that it's like, well, you created a situation where there is no line.
Right.
By going on this, truly, how long was that video that we just watched? Two and a half minutes.
And that was cut. It was like way longer.
A long rant where you're joking about using sexual violence against someone, and then you go, whoa, but don't comment on pictures of my kids.
Right.
It's like you actually already crossed an uncrossable line, and now there's a free-for-all situation.
And he crossed that line in response to, again, this whole thing started because he heard about the black girlfriend effect, right? Which is, again, was a positive thing about black women. Decided, no, black women are violent and shitty. Then people got mad about that, and then he doubled down. And then Kendrick Lamar said, hey, if you're black, don't let a white guy say this. And then that's when he said the rape thing, because it's like, how dare you call me out for, I should be able to say whatever I want. And again, it's like, there is no line. I'm a comedian. Ha ha, he he, hoo hoo.
Yeah.
And then to your point, Ryan, and this is like, I kind of feel like as we've been covering the internet for like over a year, but we've been talking about it. But it's like, it's not just men. There's a bunch of fucking people who say crazy shit, wild shit, and then they get the consequences of their shit, and they're like, my mental health,
I'm being bullied.
People, I'm getting death threats. And I'm just to the point, I'm completely desensitized. I'm like, show me a fucking death threat. Show me, which is like terrible.
Yeah.
I feel bad that I'm like
four
whatever.
A day. Just like, if anyone talks to me with less followers than me, I don't consider them the same sort of, you know, importance is me. Mm. And that's what these people should start doing.
Mm. I mean, well, and yeah, I just remember like, this girl.
And take that to the bank.
If no, but, yeah, exactly.
I will say, like, I shouldn't know that this person exists. And I do truly blame YouTube for it.
Oh, yeah. The Andrew
like,
Schultz?
Like the
I blame MTV Guy Code.
Is that where he got started?
Yes.
So the fact that he was able to sort of like parlay.
And Charlamagne.
I mean, Charlamagne is like legitimately, he's been in entertainment for a very long time. He has like a radio show. He's like a legitimate celebrity at this point.
But we ran into it at iHeartRadio.
Yeah, we ran into him in an elevator.
But this guy, like, he is directly funded by incentives from both X and YouTube.
Yeah.
And those incentives are like making him a billionaire.
Right. Probably Peter Thiel. I mean, we haven't gone, but like, he had Donald Trump on his podcast. He's getting some.
He's
Russia.
In that yes. ecosystem.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he was named in
no,
the Russia
he wasn't,
thing,
but
I wouldn't be surprised if
allegedly,
he was,
allegedly, know, allegedly.
Yeah. And it's like that whole ecosystem props this kind of guy up, who honestly should be a B-rate celebrity that everyone forgot about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because of these like massive companies that prey on our rage and our outrage that allow that kind of guy to be successful. And that's when I get really mad at her. It's like, I shouldn't even know who you are.
Yeah.
You're just like a guy.
Yeah, you're just a guy who's frankly not funny. And then, but yeah, exactly. Your whole thing is like, for the whole, like, after the Kendrick rape video, all his stupid ass fans were on X. It's just a joke. It's just a joke, guys. You guys don't get it. You guys are so mad. Andrew Schultz won.
We're triggered.
And then we're triggered. Yeah. And then this comes out and he's like, it's my kid. And it's like, I mean, my friend Jordana Jason, she fucking clocked this in 2015. She says, there's a reason every racist on any social media app, their avatar is of their kid. Like every time somebody says the most racist, wild, out-of-pocket shit, you click on their profile picture, it's of their baby or their dog.
Right.
And it's because they fucking know.
Yeah, I was talking about this at a party this weekend where with our friend, Chris Burns, mm-hmm. Fat Carrie Bradshaw online, who has like a big following, and he was like, whenever I get, like, the worst comments that I get, the most hateful comments, it'll always be someone whose profile picture is of their baby, and you go to their profile, and it's like, mother of five, love Jesus, spread positive energy, and it's like, that's the person who's commenting.
The
like,
most vile, crazy shit that
get you get off the internet, you're fat and gay, and it's like, whoa.
Okay. I'm sorry, babe. You want fat and gay people to get off the internet? No stan accounts for you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not much left to do.
Yeah, there's not
like,
much left.
Like, it's crazy. But yeah, it's kind of without fail, people whose accounts say like, love and light.
Yeah.
And they're fucking the ones who are like.
I've been, you know, listen, I've been really enjoying, I've been reading Doppelganger by Naomi Klein.
Ooh.
And that has been really interesting about like, the right-wing pipeline and radicalization and stuff like that and whatever. So I know I got it. I put it on hold from the Brooklyn Public Library.
Nice.
Wow,
and I got it on the Libby app and it's on my phone and I got 21 days to finish it for free. But so I will get that on the Brooklyn Public Library. But to the listener who said I should go to the Brooklyn Public Library and ask for the Melania book,
I can't do that.
I can't do that.
We can't be doing that.
You've got to pay real money to support that.
No, I'm not going to do that either, but I'm definitely not going to the Bushwick Library and saying, do you have
Melania?
I have to know how she felt about the Black Lives Matter protest. Okay. Any final thoughts about Andrew Schultz?
I would love to never hear about him again.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I think we will probably have to cover him again on this podcast, but I wish we didn't.
I don't care for this guy.
We don't care for him. All right.
Bye-bye.
Take him away.
For now.
For our listeners, our guest just did a wonderful little wrist away.
Sashay away.
Goodbye. And we need that. From the straight white guy on the pod, we do need to hear an actual vehement disavowalment of Andrew Schultz.
I think it was Andrew Schultz. I might be getting my horrible white guys confused, but I think Andrew Schultz was the guy who brought Shane Gillis on, and Shane Gillis was like, you are an asshole, and you're being rude.
See, but that's white
like,
men.
That's how low down this guy is, mm-hmm. you know?
On the totem pole.
If other schlubs are like, bro.
You're too much.
Like, you suck.
I don't know because, again, I am not a white man.
After the show, we can, like, look at clips.
Yeah. After the show, we'll look clips, watch the space.
We can watch Jackass together.
Jackass is monoculture. Come on. If you didn't want to smash Johnny Knoxville, what are you even doing?
That's true.
That's a not looking like contest I'd attend.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville.
You know, my dog's name, my family dog's name was Knoxville because I was so into Jackass when we got our dog that I convinced my family to name him Knoxville, even though... like my parents didn't really understand why we were doing that,
but it's a classy, you know,
it was a classy name, but it did always lead to these conversations where they'd be like, oh, his name is Knoxville, are you guys from Tennessee? And we'd be like, no. And then my dad would be like, oh, they'd be like, where are you from? And my dad's like, well, Jersey, but also Cuba. Like it would become this whole long train of information.
And it's like, I have a horny teenage daughter.
Yeah, well, actually, I just have a 13-year-old who's really into the show Jackass on MTV.
No, but there was a moment, and the True Heads are watching Scare Tactics on USA Network.
Oh, wow.
Which was, that was my family viewing. But anyway, guys, speaking of Scare Tactics, let's get to our discourse.
The discourse.
Okay.
Which is all about the United Healthcare CEO.
We're ready.
Shooter.
Yep.
We're ready to discourse. New information broke as we came in, but we're saving it to the end.
Saving it to the end, for the love of God.
Because
it took me a while to make this talk. So last week on December 4th, someone murdered the CEO of United Healthcare. And here's that timeline of the day. I want you to close your eyes and think about what a random day for you is. Mm-hmm. What time are you waking up?
Yeah.
What time are you getting business done? What time are you walking your dog?
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. it won't be as productive as this motherfucker. I'll tell you that right now.
The shooters.
The shooter. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The shooter is fucking working, okay? So December 4th, at 5:30 a.m., the suspected shooter leaves the hostel.
Okay.
Well, because he was staying at a hostel. Leaves the hostel before dawn. 5:41, he appears on video at 54th Street and 6th Avenue, walking back and forth in the area of the Hilton Hotel, where the United Healthcare's parent company, United Health Group, is holding its annual investor conference. Police deduce that he rode a bicycle to the Hilton because it took him such a short time to get there. Hashtag bike rights. Hashtag mm-hmm. transportation alternatives. Hashtag walkable city. At one point, this guy, the shooter, went to a nearby Starbucks, purchased a bottle of water, and at least one energy bar before returning to the hotel.
Important to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6:44 a.m., he shoots Thompson as the executive arrives alone on foot, having walked from a hotel across the street. The man flees. 6:48 a.m., the man enters Central Park by bicycle at 60th Street and Center Drive entrance. It's in the park and away from security cameras that police believe he discards a gray backpack. 6:56 a.m., he leaves the park at West 77th Street and Central Park West, still on the bicycle. 6:58 a.m., he passes another camera on 85th Street. This guy's fucking zooming.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, wow.
This guy's zooming.
Yeah. Wow, what a great workout.
And at 85th Street and Columbus Avenue, still on the bicycle. Okay, but now he's going slow because at 7 a.m., he's at 86th Street.
Well, he's only had a power bar.
Yeah. At least one energy.
He's got it, you know, without a proper record.
But he don't got the bike anymore at 7 a.m. 7:04, he enters a taxi northbound at 86th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. 7:30, he's near the George Washington Bridge and the bus terminal there. It offers commuter service to, New Jersey and Greyhound routes to Philadelphia, Boston, and Washington, D.C.
Okay.
After the attack, investigators find the words, deny, defend, and depose written in permanent marker on ammunition at the scene. The words mimic a phrase used by insurance industry critics. So that was his day, right? That was December
4th. That's quite a day.
Yeah,
that's great. Quite a day.
All before fucking the sun came out.
That's yeah.
That's great. Right,
I have my first morning meeting at 9:30 a.m., so by the time I was doing my first real thing of the day, this guy had traversed the city on a bicycle. Oh, He was gone.
He was at the George Washington Bridge. And the George Washington Bridge famously has a bunch of jitneys, too.
Yeah.
That you could get on. So you don't even need, like, a real, like, take you pay cash. This, if I was getting out of the city, I would get on a little jitney.
Oh, yeah.
And chill. I have so many jitney stories that'll have to be another day. So news sources like CNN and the New York Times have commented on how disturbing this killing was and how messed up it was. And, you know, that can be highlighted by the New York Times piece titled "The Growing Cost of Making CEOs Safe." You know,
won't someone think of the CEOs?
Someone think of the CEOs, but here's the.
I can name something else that's growing in cost that has led to this problem.
Well,
but okay.
Gun prices.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
it's hard to get a good silencer these days.
Exactly.
The unexpected.
Oh, we have details about that actually.
Okay. Well.
Hold your goddamn horses!
All right.
The unexpected challenge that police faced was that people were standing. The UHC killer.
Yeah.
Celebrating him as, quote, Fozzie folk hero who struck a blow against a detested institution, the nation's for-profit healthcare system. Again, people were like, this guy's fucking awesome. We love him. And then started the memes. Then the memes started. There were memes about, you know, him going to Starbucks, because famously a lot of people have boycotted Starbucks because of the Palestinian genocide. So people have, you know, stopped.
He's canceled.
And also, so people were like, well, I really supported him until. Yeah.
I saw a lot of people retweeting and being like, girl, the boycott.
The boycott, yeah. The boycott, you know. So that was funny. And then, you know, as we covered on our appearance on the Daily Zeitgeist, mm-hmm. doctors in one of the internet's top medical communities have turned on the healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, in such a brutal fashion that Reddit moderators deleted a thread on the kid killing in r/medicine.
Yeah.
You know, it got racked up 500 replies. The commenters were, you know, overwhelmingly criticized and satirized the insurer's alleged denial of coverage to sick and dying Americans in order to juice profits. The top comment, which received hundreds of supporting upvotes from other users, mocked UHC's notorious track records for refusing to pay out insurance claims, and it's written as a lengthy spoof rejection letter. So this is what they wrote. Following a careful review of this claim submitted for emergency services on December 4th, 2024, you failed to obtain prior authorization before seeking care for the gunshot wound to your chest. If you'd like to appeal the fatal gunshot wound, please call 1-800-555-123 with case number 123456789P to initiate peer-to-peer within 48 hours of the fatal gunshot. So that's kind of like a satirical response, because that's literally what they do.
Yeah. I saw a lot of stuff that was phrased like that. That's like, you can apply for thoughts and prayers here. Like, sorry, I applied for thoughts and prayers, but they weren't approved. Like, just that entire world of responses.
They also took him to a hospital that wasn't in his network.
Well,
I'm not even kidding.
Well, I mean, when your net worth is $43 million, what's not in your network? A very common thing that was paraphrased, the earliest 20th century trade union lawyer Clarence Darrow said, quote, "I never wished a man dead, but I've read some obituaries with great pleasure." So,
did you guys get like a horny post about it?
Yes. Yeah. So now we're going to the horny post. The NYPD released a photo of this man and everybody replied. They released a photo hoping to get help. And what they got instead was thirst. So this is what people are saying. This is one tweet. I'm not seeing enough discussion how hot the assassin is. And that's the real crime in this whole matter, wrote one Twitter user. Another one said, healthcare CEO gunman lookalike contest in my bedroom at 8 p.m. tonight.
They did a lookalike contest in Washington Square Park.
We're going to tell you. So somebody said, babe, wake up. The alleged CEO shooter is low-key hot. Somebody said, I'm sorry, but the other site, they're talking about Blue Sky, can never replace the collective insanity of Twitter, finding out that the United Healthcare CEO is not just a social justice warrior, but is also an absolute panty dropper. Special times. Adding fuel to the fire, they release another screenshot or photo of this guy, of the suspect, and he has taken off his mask and smiled. But the smile was because he was doing a flirty exchange with a woman that worked at the hostel's front desk.
Dude, he had such a busy morning.
So he was flirting with the hostel. He let down his mask. The only time he let down his mask was to flash a little smile to the hostel person. So here we're going to watch a quick video of somebody's kind of responding to it. And then we'll hear everyone's thoughts about why we think the reaction was what it was.
Karma is a bitch that really do catch you when you're not looking. And yes, I'm talking about Brian Thompson. That man was the CEO of United Healthcare with a base salary of $1 million. This doesn't take into account bonuses, gifts, stocks, anything. In 2022, that man made $9.8 million and his net worth was over $40 million. Meanwhile, 62% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And that number actually jumps up to 77% when you take into account people making under $50,000 a year. UHC was denying roughly 32% of their insurance claims. And I bet you that 32% number is higher because insurance folks typically keep those numbers pretty secretive. So the fact that we know the number 32% means that it's probably much worse than we think. One of the people who was denied medicine under UHC is Lisa Galeski. She has stage 4 metastatic lung cancer, and she recently left UHC because she has spent $20,000 on medicine alone out of pocket just this year. And then I hear that the shareholders that Brian Thompson held so dearly and wanted to make all this money stepped over his unalived body on the way to a meeting they were supposed to be having with him. And that they apparently kicked the shell casings down the road, literally tampering with evidence. And to me, that's funny for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, poor folks already know that the rich and powerful do not care about us, right? But y'all middle class people, that's how the rich and powerful and the corporations feel about y'all too. If y'all are not turning them a profit, they do not care about you. The working class is tired of y'all playing in our faces. So if y'all want to be funny, there are some folks out there who can be hilarious.
And who is the creator that made that video? Shout out.
The creator is Zem, Z-E-M.
Well, congrats to Zem. I mean, yeah, I think. And we've said this on Go Touch Grass. We've said it many times. Go Touch Grass is an anti-murder podcast.
That's right. Murder bad.
Murder bad. Murder bad. And also.
we went to UCB, so yes.
Yes. And also, when you create an industry that literally builds itself on devaluing human life, putting a dollar figure on the worst moments of people's lives, their cancer treatment, saying, actually, you know what? Do you really need nausea medication mm-hmm. after chemo? We've decided that you don't. Mm-hmm. Does your wheelchair actually need a new wheel? We've decided that you don't. When you, that industry in and of itself devalues human life with a callousness that anyone who's engaged with it has experienced, that has created a system where someone can gun down one of your executives and the reaction from other people is quite callous and technically like devalues human life. But it's like, that's what you've been doing to us.
Yeah.
That's what you do to people when you deny medically necessary claims. And the only way any of these companies make money is to deny claims. They don't make money by paying your health insurance. No, they make money by denying your claims. I mean,
UHC has an AI that will determine whether you get paid out,
and it's usually set to false.
But like to paraphrase like this great post from, you know, Michael Hobbs, the podcast.
Yes.
So he tweeted this like 2 or 3 years ago, but he's sort of nuked his account, so I'm gonna paraphrase, where it's basically like the story of the 2010s is that we created a system that allowed the rich and powerful to hear the thoughts and concerns of the poor and the marginalized, and they promptly went insane. And mm-hmm. I do think that, like, the reaction that I'm seeing now where it's like, don't joke about that. That's not funny. It's a lot of rich people seemingly for the first time ever in their lives realizing that, like, Americans do not care if they die. And it seems to be really freaking them out. And, you know, it shouldn't. But it seems like it's a real shock to a lot of elites in this country this week being like, oh, they won't even respect us when we die.
But, I mean, to be fair, you know, you're talking, Elise talked about like the very real thing of, you know, healthcare companies creating this thing where they're putting a dollar amount on value of human life. But also this country politically has lowered the value of life because fucking kids can get gunned down for being in school. Yeah. They're getting, and we're desensitized to that. There are kids, 20 kindergarteners who fucking lost their life. And I could be talking about two different shootings.
Yeah.
You don't know if I'm talking about Uvalde or Sandy Hook, because that's the fucking shit. We're talking about Parkland, where there's endless things where it's like people's fucking kid, their reason for getting up in the morning gets gunned down and nothing changes. No gun legislation. We can't even study it. We can't even do anything. We're not. So, of course, what is that telling us? That gun profits are more important than people. So now you want us to care when someone who actually is probably doing way more damage.
But it's even worse than that, because like we're recording this on Monday, literally 2 hours ago, Daniel Perry was found not guilty.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So not only is it they don't care about gun violence outside of their like gated communities, they're totally fine with vigilantism if it's supporting what they care about, yeah. which is like racism. White people.
Yeah. For anyone listening, Daniel Penny is this guy who choked out a homeless person on a subway car. Yeah. The guy was having some kind of a mental episode. Whatever. You can look into it. But he was just found not guilty for that crime.
Even manslaughter.
Yeah, even manslaughter. Accidental. And to me, perfectly honest, Daniel Penny is far more dangerous to the general public to me as someone who, this is a man who leapt to his feet and committed murder in the time it took to get between two subway cars. Because,
which is not easy if no one's ever done it before.
No, it's actually quite hard.
It's quite hard.
I keep trying. But no, like,
I have a friend who used to pee out there. So
he choked someone like in between two subway cars just on a dime. Like, that is something.
Retired Marine, PTSD. Like,
that person is way more dangerous in my mind to the general public than this than the person he killed, but also to this United Healthcare shooter who we're going to find out more about his motivation.
Yeah, we should probably not get too on his side based on what's about to come out.
We don't know what.
But it's just multi, like, I guess, like, a big conversation about, like, in the, you know, mainstream popular media is like, how could people celebrate this? Why? And we're getting to those things of like, look at the state of our country right now. Look at, you know, all these people, like I said, you know, I said on the Daily Zeitgeist of like, look at like how Trump won, how people were so despondent and stayed home from this election because they didn't feel like people were talking to the concerns. Democrats weren't talking to the concerns of the working class. They want to like nuke the system, whatever. The system is not working for a majority of people. Some people think their solution is voting for Donald Trump, which is insane to me, but whatever.
Not
like,
my personal
not
avenue.
My personal thing at all, not but whatever. Ryan, did you? Oh, no, I'm kidding.
Ryan, tell us
you
Ryan,
you Ryan, 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 do you disavow, disavow, look, disavow?
I just think RFK has some great ideas about milk. That's
is it RFK or his brain worm?
Yeah.
So
either way, one of them's in charge.
One of them's in charge. No, but yeah, it's like, this is why. And it's like, if you can't even understand why someone wouldn't blink twice, given the past 5 years, 10 years, even the past 5 years where a million people died of COVID and fucking nobody, you know what I mean? No one cared. Like, so it's like, you want us to what now?
This also like has kind of happened before. Are you guys familiar with like the assassination of the Japanese prime minister like 2 years ago?
Shinzo Abe.
Yeah, so this guy built what people call the doohickey. It was like this like gun that shot batteries because it's hard to get a gun in Japan.
Yeah.
And he killed Shinzo Abe and they're like, why? And he goes, well, my mom was part of this weird religious cult
the
that
Moonies,
he's part of.
Which
yeah.
the Moonies, I listened to that documentary podcast.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers, crazy.
But here's the thing. The whole country was like, that's a good point, actually. We should probably get rid of that. And then they did. So it's like, it's not totally crazy that, like, there's a massive political response to an assassination. Like, it happens. That's what they're for.
I mean, here, I'm just like, it's tough because if the powers that be were smart, they would see this, they would see the reaction, and they would go, oh, people are, it's guillotine vibes out here. Like, people are not happy. We should maybe do something about health insurance on some level. But the incoming administration is not going to
fucking
do that.
They're
going to
make it worse.
They're going to make it worse. They want to repeal Obamacare. They're already saying that.
There was one insurance company, I think, last week that was trying to get out of paying for the entirety of someone's
anesthesia.
Then this happened. They're like, no, you're good. You're good. Yeah, and they pulled out real quick. So
hide their CEO. Like, all the healthcare companies are trying to, like, you know, hide the CEO's like information and stuff because they're scared of getting clapped, babe. You should have been whatever. So
yeah, but that was interesting because Blue Cross Blue Shield had just announced that they were not going to cover the entirety of anesthesia for certain procedures. Like, they were going to cover up to like a certain amount of time, even though some surgeries take like fucking 10 hours.
Yeah.
And the ones that take 10 hours are probably the most needed. Like, the longer your surgery is, the more vital it probably is that you're like having that fucking surgery. And they were saying they weren't going to cover it. And then they pulled it back, but I think they only pulled it back. They were going to do it in, like, New York, Connecticut, and another state, and then they only set it for Connecticut, but then now Kathy Hochul's like, I'm going to stop it in New York, and I'm like, yeah, well, we'll see that.
When I read that originally, I thought that, like, it would be a thing where, like, your anesthesia just runs out, like, midway through the surgery.
That's what they fucking
It's like, we'll do 4 of the 5 hours,
and
you can, you're on your own.
Waking up in the middle. No, it's just that, like, they'll charge you at the fucking ass for the rest of it, and you'll get you'll recover from your vital surgery, and you'll get hit with like a $20,000 bill for anesthesia because they're like, sorry, we only covered for the first 90 minutes, and your surgery was 10 hours because you had a brain tumor. Sorry,
it just fucking it's and it's also like some asshole in the middle of the country can get an extra yacht or something completely.
Again, this guy had millions of dollars.
Yeah. And I feel bad because he has kids and, like, you know, a family, and, like, they're going to live without a dad. And, like, to also see that their dad, like, people are celebrating, like, that has to be so hard. But it's like, yeah, but the temperature and the shit in this country is like, y'all wouldn't even look twice. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, his kids aren't going to school where a school shooter will come through. And his kids will be always fine with, you know, medical coverage and whatever. So it's just.
Yeah.
It's although just we probably sad. Should talk about the shooter now. Because
I was going to say.
Some of this.
yeah.
It changes the meaning of some of what we're saying here.
But. Yeah. Well, one more thing. Since the NYPD was having trouble locating him, which has now changed, but they posted this man's photo, and several people flooded the NYPD with fake tips, and a lot of people were dressing like the killer to confuse law enforcement. And in the trends right now, which I kind of feel like the lookalike contests were going, like, down, right? There was lookalike contests where people advertise, like, put flyers in a certain city and then have people that look like celebrities go to a public park and stand in the audience, like, votes. So they've had, again, Timothée Chalamet, Zayn Malik, Jeremy Allen White, Glenn Powell, Rachel Sennett. And this past weekend, there was a UHC shooter lookalike contest in Washington Square Park.
I did see one post that was like, imagine if one of them just was him. Yeah. Which would be very funny. But I think we've now found that he was in Philly.
Philly, which I would have gone to Canada, but whatever. So the NYPD offered $10,000, which a lot of people, to for information. Yeah. A lot of
my deductible is more than that.
Yeah, a lot of people scoffed at that.
I feel like they got to want it more.
And then the FBI added $50,000 to that.
Okay.
I was going to show a video of this guy being like, that's not enough fucking money. This guy's John Wick. He was a professional, but we kind of got there. And yeah, just like finally at the time of this recording, a man in Altoona, Pennsylvania was stopped with a fake New Jersey ID and is being held for questioning in connection with the murder of UHC CEO Brian Thompson. The man walked into McDonald's where a witness recognized him from the images circulated by police. The man had a similar gun to the one used in Wednesday's assassination-style killing outside a Manhattan hotel. And they also recovered his computer. I know Brian has more information about the shooter.
26-year-old Luigi Mangione.
So it seems like he's sort of your typical Andrew Schultz fan, actually.
Wow.
He's like a kind of a Gen Z-ish hustle bro. He has a Goodreads account where he kind of talks about like the end of the Industrial Revolution, kind of Unabomber stuff. But he's
in Goodreads account is what? What's a Goodreads?
Goodreads is kind of like Letterboxd for books.
Yeah, it's like a social media app where you can review books.
Yeah, so he's on there reviewing like the Unabomber's manifesto, but also the Steve-O's biography, I guess.
Yeah.
To bring it back to Jackass.
A widely read person.
Yeah.
He's on X retweeting all kinds of right wing stuff. He's obsessed with like Japanese birth rates and like men's rights activism.
Well, Japanese birth rates are bad right now. So
yeah, but he's like in it for like the right wing reason where he believes that like if we return society to like a conservative values, like birth rates will go up because women won't work anymore. Blah, blah. It's like Elon Musk stuff. So he does seem to be outraged about healthcare, but it's like horseshoe theory. He got there the wrong way.
I mean, but that
if this is the guy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's also a really interesting point because Ben Shapiro posted a YouTube episode of his bullshit ass thing. And he was like, he was very much giving the reaction of what a lot of mainstream media is like, this is fucked up. How could we kill a CEO? This is bullshit. And all his comments were dragging him of like, I'm sorry, I'm conservative, but this is fucked up. Like, no, fuck that guy. Like, we need help. So it's more speaking to the populism that got Donald Trump elected. Again, there are people who genuinely feel like businesses should have rights and whatever stupid conservative values. But there are people who are populist and believe that, you know, poor working class people should be able to afford things like healthcare and food and water.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of people like on election day that did not seem to know until election day that the ACA is Obamacare.
Well, yeah.
And they wanted to get rid of Obamacare, but they used the ACA and they didn't seem to realize that those were the same things.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it's just it speaks to this thing that we've been talking about since the election and before, that like there are like this issue of healthcare, it's actually like a bipartisan issue. Mm-hmm. It goes beyond left and right. People want this system fixed.
Yeah.
Conservative, quote unquote, people want this system fixed. And I just think it's wild that we just came off an entire election where there was really not a lot of talk about healthcare at all. Other than Donald Trump saying, I'm going to repeal Obamacare,
right,
which people don't even realize what that actually means.
And there's a reason he says Obamacare and not ACA.
And not ACA.
Right.
And then on the Democrat side, they weren't really offering anything, marginal things. Oh, we're going to do this with prices, blah, blah, blah. But it's like in 2016 and 2020 with the Bernie campaign and also like Elizabeth Warren in 2020 and a lot of the different primary candidates in 2020, there were people who were proposing true universal healthcare plans.
Yeah.
And we did not have that at all. And to see that, like, coming out of an election where that wasn't talked about at all, we're having a murder committed maybe by someone who was actually a right wing person on this issue just goes to show that it's like this was just left on the table.
Yeah.
And
now we're three for three.
If an assassin can do it, like Kamala could have done it.
Kamala could have said something. She could have said, I'm going to make a play for a public option again. Yeah. You know,
and that would have at least inspired people. And I'm just going to say for this year, if this guy's the guy, we're 3 for 3 on assassination attempts and whatever for them being Republican.
That's true.
I'm just saying the Trump clipped me in the ear guy, the one that was in the golf field. There are all kinds of
That's because they got the guns.
They got the guns. They got the guns.
And they know how to use them. If you're a socialist listening to this, go to a gun range immediately.
We don't need the white guy. The
head gun told me to tell you.
No.
Their official stance is to mobilize, comrades. Okay.
All right. Should we move on to our next segment? Okay. So we are going to do a quick politic talk today. This is our segment where we talk about the intersection of politics and the internet. We've already kind of been talking about this, but this is like a very literal politic talk because. Okay. On Friday, the U.S. Appeals Court upheld the law that would require TikTok to be sold to a U.S. company or be banned in the United States by January 19th. So,
wow,
that's coming right up.
So close to being free.
Gen Z, you guys better get your insurrection hats going.
Yeah. You guys better get ready.
Let me tell you all about a little website called Vine.
Oh, my God.
So on the day of this recording, TikTok filed an emergency motion asking an appeals court to temporarily block the ban until the Supreme Court can take a look. So by the time you hear this, we might know whether or not that's going to go or not. Donald Trump had promised to save TikTok if elected, but he's also the one who initially kind of started talk of the ban. So who fucking knows?
It's because he doesn't believe in anything.
Yeah.
It's because he has no beliefs.
He doesn't give a fuck. His only belief is burying his ex in his
golf course.
Allegedly.
No, she is there. Don't allegedly mean.
Isn't there a conspiracy that someone
that he killed her?
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
There's a conspiracy that he killed her because she died under mysterious circumstances.
We know where she is. We don't know how she got there.
We don't know why she is.
But you know, so they could get tax breaks.
So according to TikTok,
I can't believe he's gonna be president again.
I know.
I fucking hate this country.
I know.
I'm sorry.
According to TikTok, the ban would cost small businesses and creators $1.3 billion in their first month of not being on. So that's like people who use it to promote their products, people who use the TikTok shop to sell stuff, and then also just content creators who make money on TikTok. So my question for us is, do we think this is really going to happen? And is now really the time to take people's side hustles away?
So, do you know the writer Max Reed?
No.
Max made this point in his newsletter a couple weeks ago where it's like the amount of Americans using TikTok as a side hustle is why we got Trump. Because they all think they're small business owners and they don't want higher tax rates. It's an interesting idea. But to your point...
So, it's TikTok's fault that Trump is...
I don't think it's like unconnected. No. It's possible.
Yeah.
But like to your point, like, do you think it'll get banned? I do.
Yeah, I think it's really gonna go.
I just don't see any political reason why it wouldn't be right now. There's no kind of there's no benefit to Trump to not ban it.
Well, I think that the whole thing is like they want to regulate it and they want to make sure that China is not monitoring, and like there's data shit that's like actual concerns that they don't share with American owned companies and stuff, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. But the whole ban thing was to get some kind of regulation going. But I could totally see, especially with Elon being in Trump's, like, of Trump's ass for now, I'm predicting, I know we've kind of joked about it, but like official prediction that Elon and Trump are going to fall out in the most epic.
It's going to be
so good. It's
going to be so good. It's going to be awesome. Watch this space. Like, already there was some shit popping off. But and with Zuckerberg probably up his ass, like, I would say, like, even though the, because a lot of the act, you know, a lot of the senators and all the stuff were like, it's not really a ban. It's more regulation. We need to know. And like, when you have a U.S. ownership, they can follow our rules, blah, 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 blah. But with Trump now and all these social media Silicon Valley guys on his dick, they're probably, they might just flat out ban. I could totally see that.
And I don't think it's posturing, but I think ByteDance has said, like, it does it. This TikTok does not matter to us. We have Douyin back in China.
Yeah.
We like have like the amount of like users in like Indonesia and Southeast Asia on TikTok is so massive that like America does not matter to us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I used to think it wasn't going to happen, but now I'm kind of like, I think it is. And I do feel bad for people who have built businesses on there. Like, times are fucking tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said this on the pod a while ago. I recently monetized my TikTok and saw that, like,
you got some good money. Yeah.
I know. You can make, like, a decent chunk of change about that. And people who have really worked hard and built platforms, people who use it to promote their small businesses, like, it is going to take a hit to their wallet. And I do wonder if there is going to be backlash from people who use the platform for their businesses who suddenly just have, it's like a rug pull for those people. If that's what you count on all the time, and it's like everyone knows, you know, again, price of eggs, Trump's elected because of economic anxiety, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I bet they wish they voted for Kamala now.
So what Trump can do, though, is he can say, you're right, he kicked off the dominoes that got us here. He'd be like, Biden banned TikTok. See how bad Biden is?
Yeah, that's the whole shit with the right, is that they could just straight up lie about everything all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they're better at getting their message out there because of Schultz, because of all these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But again, we said Democrats will fucking take some money.
Yes.
Give us some money. Give us some PAC money. We'll spread the DNC message far and wide, baby. You want us to go on the record and say shit? Let me tell you.
And tell people, go on the record and say, the ACA is Obamacare. Yeah. Please, please, for the love of God.
You don't know my core wound about this, the 2024 election, is that since February, I was trying to pitch an educational video series for Latino voters. Could not get any money for it.
From the DNC?
From anybody.
Okay.
Couldn't get any money for it. And then Trump went.
So and I'm then like, everyone's like, why did the Latinos?
Well, it's not like, you know.
What's wrong with the Latinos? Why did they vote?
It's not like they were important in this election.
Yeah, it's not like they swung right in any major way. Okay. Yeah. But speaking of these assholes that Millie was referring to, it's time for our final segment. This segment is called Grasshole of the Week. Okay. This is where we name the person who needs to log off the most. Today, for the first time, but probably not the last time,
no,
our grasshole is Miss Haley Welsh, a.k.a. Hawk Tua Girl.
I lost so much money on her crypto coin. My 401k is gone.
You lost everything on Hawk Coin. Yes, we are
talking about. You're a freelancer with a 401k?
It's called a SEP. It exists. It's called a single employer pension, and you can do it. And I would recommend any freelancer listening to do that, actually.
Yeah, I got one with my S-Corp. Anyway, but not anymore because I did. S-Corp.
Whoop, woo. Damn, it's very complicated. I wish I never did it.
I know. It's like, now my taxes are really annoying. Anyway, my taxes aside, today we are talking about Hawk Coin. We first discussed Hawk to a Girl on our episode over the summer with my husband, Danny Grow. And she was
the last white man.
Your Pookie, if you will.
My Pookie. I guess I'm Pookie. He would be Jeff.
No. Yeah.
Or is he Pookie?
He's Pookie.
Is no, he Pookie?
I thought you're a lady with a podcast, and he would be Pookie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, but Pookie is the guy.
Pookie's the guy.
Pookie's the guy.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the other way around.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm confused about
Pookie. I don't know. Okay. They're both Trumpy, so we're moving okay. on. I don't
my
care.
Pookie was on the podcast. And we were like fresh off of her virality when we first talked about it. So we were like, we were very gentle with Haley Welsh.
The
first time we talked about her. We wanted to learn more. Before passing judgment.
Because she said that she wouldn't hawk Tua on Donald Trump.
She did. She was asked if she would hawk Tua on Trump, and she said no. So we were like, you know what? We're not going to assume anything about her.
But then she signed with Logan Paul.
We have since learned more, and we will pass judgment now. So since we last discussed Hawk Tua Girl, she signed with Penthouse Management, and then she launched a podcast on Jake Paul's network, Better Media.
Nice. Better than what? Who knows?
Who knows? What was that thing from Who Weekly that we went to Who Weekly Live? Tyra Banks has a thing where she says, different is better than better.
Better. Yeah, different is better than better.
So Better Media, different is better than better. Anyway, her most recent episode of her podcast, Talk Tua,
had
Brooke Schofield, former Discourse.
Oh, no, I thought it was Mark Cuban.
She had Mark Cuban, but the most recent episode as of this recording is called How to Avoid Getting Canceled with former Discourse, Brooke Schofield.
That has to be the worst person to ask, because right now Brooke Schofield is dating a guy who was dating a 16-year-old when he was 28.
But is she canceled?
I would say...
The master at work.
Yeah.
But I guess if she's still making money off her pot, like... What is cancel? Cancel culture doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
Keep going. Alicia. Okay. I'm getting frustrated.
But the reason that she is
mentioned
grasshole.
Too many white people in one succession.
The reason that she is grasshole for this week is because of her latest endeavor, which is the launch of Hawk Coin. Hawk Coin has a dollar sign in front of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure if it's supposed
shock?
To be.
Coin?
No. It's just that's how you show up. Like,
is that all Bitcoin has a dollar?
Yeah, tell us about
it?
Explain Bitcoin. To us.
I've been to a bunch of the conventions. Yeah. So if you want to like show, I was a financial reporter for a brief moment. But yeah, so if you do like a coin, you put the dollar sign
first. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Same as like a stock.
I wasn't sure if that was just like cutesy for her, but it does make it look like it's called Shock Coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Six Slack, like the rapper Black, but he uses a six instead of a B.
And then
I call him Six Slack.
It's hard. Sometimes when you're reading these things, I feel like people should think about that more often. Anyway, Haley Welsh, same day as the shooter, December 4th.
Coincidence?
Horseshoe for real.
Hawk Coin. It quickly reaches a value of $490 million. But as of today... December 9th, when we are recording, it has already crashed with a 91% decline in its value.
Nice.
So Welsh is now being accused of orchestrating a pump and dump scheme. This is from investor.gov.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scheme that has two parts. The first part is where promoters try to boost the price of a stock, or in this case, a Bitcoin, with false or misleading statements about the company. Once the price has been pumped, fraudsters move on to the second part where they seek to profit by selling their own holdings of the stock and then dumping shares of it. And like, so they pump it up and then they sell and they crash it, basically. The quick drop of Hawk Coin has people speculating that Welch and her team purposefully inflated the value of the coin and then dumped it before the crash. This is from, I think this is a Yahoo Finance article. The blockchain analysis shows suspicious trading patterns, with one wallet accumulating 17.5% of the total supply of Hawk Coin and then selling it for $1.3 million within 90 minutes of the launch. So that's kind of a classic sign that this is a pump and dump scheme.
I don't think Haley knows this, and I don't think a lot of people do, but basically, like, the blockchain means it's all public.
Yeah.
So you, like, I think I read...
She's saying that we didn't sell our things, but then the blockchain, which is what you're talking about...
And there were people who were already holding it before it went public.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then there were people within seconds who knew to buy.
Yeah.
And that seems to prove that there was some insider trading.
So, yeah, it was like that she told her, like... Or maybe the company, the holding company that is in charge.
That would
be
my guess. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yo, we're about to sell it. She's about to go to all her fans.
Yep.
So buy this shit up before it goes live. And I'm trying to break it down even more for people.
Yeah.
Buy this shit before it goes live. And then they all bought it. And then when a lot of people started buying, they started selling it. And then the value went down a lot, which is, like,
yeah,
illegal.
Okay, so Welch denies this. She's blaming the crash on snipers, which are basically like outside people who come in.
They sneak in, yeah, yeah.
And do the pump and dump
from the outside of the Hilton Hotel.
Yeah.
keep up, baby.
This is also a detail that made me laugh from this Yahoo Finance article, that there was at least one person who dumped $1 million worth of Mudang coin to sell it for Hawk coin, but then lost most of their money trying to switch back to Mudang.
That person needs to go to jail.
Yeah.
Like thought prison.
Thought prison.
This is all related to these. These are all meme coins, which are cryptocurrencies that are inspired by like internet memes. They're unlike traditional cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ethereum. They like lack an intrinsic utility, and they basically just rely on like viral appeal and enthusiasm to like make their money. So according to Coinbase, meme coins like Dogecoin and Shiba Inu are purely speculative trading instruments and frequently associated with high volatility and risk. Their value often fluctuates based on hype or endorsements rather than tangible use cases. So Welch was apparently paid $125,000 to promote the Hawk coin. She and her team have pledged to address concerns and stabilize the coin's value, but she could now be facing a pretty serious SEC investigation.
Martha Stewart, think about what Martha Stewart went to jail for six months. She didn't do shit. She just kind of lied. And
she did insider trading, but it's like, how many people are doing insider trading?
But I'm saying this girl, she like was the face of it.
Yeah.
Versus like Martha got a tip and sold.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that Martha went to
full jail.
Full jail. And she was richer and more powerful than Hawk Girl. And she did less. So this bitch.
Yeah.
I don't think she knew anything about what was going on.
No.
I think the people behind the coin definitely probably insider trading. It'll really come down to like, how much money did she personally make?
Okay, so here's the two things though that I saw was like CoffeeZilla went on that Twitter space and she was being really mean to him.
And then she was like, I'm going to bed now.
And she just hung up because they had this whole talk about like she wanted to address concerns and then people were getting on her ass. And then another thing that I noticed was that, or what CoffeeZilla said, was that they had a fee to prevent snipers. So they took like 15% of all trades, which equaled like millions of dollars. And it was all pocketed by the Hawk to a people. So it was like, there's like at least $1 million or $2 million of fees just in general of trading. And they weren't transparent on who's getting it. So it's just.
It wasn't her. So she teamed up with a company called Over Here. Mm-hmm. I was looking at them this morning. There's not a lot of public information, but it seems like the coin was managed by the group Over Here that may or may not have licensed it from her. So we really don't know how much money she made or how involved.
It seems like she got paid to promote it at least. And then she probably had some money in the coin itself.
I mean, they used her face and likeness though.
Well, but that's, I think to your point is like, I don't think that she personally orchestrated the pump and dump scheme. But it's like, I don't think that she was doing her due diligence about how this is done. Hey, I should probably protect myself. A lot of celebrities have gotten in trouble for this exact thing.
Especially Logan and Jake Paul.
Yeah, literally, Jake Paul has already gotten in trouble for this very thing. Like so six it's like, times. You got to protect yourself, girl. Like, don't put your name, like, this is actually real shit to start getting involved in like these financial things. And you should make sure that you have someone who works for only you. That's looking at this and is saying this is legit, this is above board, because you're going to go down.
Yeah.
Remember, she worked at a spring company, like making bed springs before she became Hawk to a girl. She doesn't fucking know anything, but you got to know if you're going to put your name on this stuff and try to sell it to people.
Or have someone around you that does.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Hire someone who knows.
For financial stuff, for sure. I'm just going to go ahead and say, like, this is a consequence of, like, going viral. Yeah. Like, you know, because, well, summer, it hasn't even been, what is it, 6 months?
Yeah.
Since Hawk 2 came out?
Yeah.
5 or 6, 7 months? And you're already doing these financial, like, it's just, like, this rise and this thing of, like, maybe you should just sit things out for a little bit. Yeah. But it's all just trying to, like, capitalize on your moment. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's really sad.
So, I'm issuing actually a joint Go Touch Grass in this moment. First, for the crime of getting famous and within 6 months starting a meme coin to fleece your own fans, we must say, Hawk to a girl, go touch grass. And also, if you bought Hawk coin, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But you need to go touch grass as well.
And
you
maybe
cannot.
Like get serious mental help. Like,
yeah, like if you put money in Hawkpoint and then you lost your money and you're feeling bad about it, we're an anti-victim blaming podcast, anti-murder. But take a good hard look in the mirror at how you're spending money, because personally, I would have said Hawkpoint had a pretty good chance of
being
this exact thing happening with it.
For sure.
Hawk to the moon.
Yeah, well.
And on that beautiful note, Ryan, you've been an incredible guest.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you tell our lovely listeners where they can find you, read your stuff, follow you, all of that good.
So I'm really big on Parler, Gab.
Oh, my God. Those
are all
right.
All the free speech platforms.
Yeah, those are all.
No, you can follow me, my writing at my newsletter Garbage Day, which is garbageday.email. And my podcast is Panic World, which is on every app that podcasts live on, I think. So,
beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Ryan, you're a wonderful guest. It was great to have you. Everybody, you can follow this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can follow me at Pandalese on Instagram and Elise Navidad on TikTok for as long as we got it.
Yeah. And it might be Elise Navidad on Instagram very
soon.
We'll
see. We'll see. Someone has reached out. I might finally be able to change my handle. I don't know if I'll get Elise Navidad, but we'll see. Fingers crossed.
You can follow me at Millie_Tamirez on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow me on Twitter at Millie Tamirez. And you can follow me at Blue Sky with Millie.Tamirez, I guess. And I know I've seen you. I saw the likes. I'm going to be picking the Etsy witch that's going to cast a success spell on me very soon.
Yeah.
We're going to vote between witches.
It's gonna be a whole thing.
I see your likes. Like, I appreciate it. We're gonna really is getting success soon. So yeah. Anyway, with that, everybody,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Lights are going up, snow is falling down. There's a feeling of goodwill around town. It could only mean one thing. McRib is here. People throwing parties, ugly sweaters everywhere. Stockings hung up by the chimney with care. It could only mean one thing. McRib is here.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time.